Hi everyone, welcome back to the Logical Bible Study Podcast. Thanks once again for tuning in. This is the podcast where we take a look at the gospel reading from the Mass of today, and we really want to pull it apart and see what the original author was trying to convey to his original audience. And that's called analysing the literal sense of the text, which is what we always want to start with as Catholics. And this podcast is designed in such a way that you can listen to it on the way to work or on the way home from work, or in connection with some spiritual reading time, some sort of 15 or 20 minute block during the day, and hopefully you get a lot out of analysing the Gospels in this way. Today's Mass reading is from John chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. Here's the reading for today. Jesus left Samaria for Galilee. He himself had declared that there is no respect for a prophet in his own country. But on his arrival, the Galileans received him well, having seen all that he had done at Jerusalem during the festival which they too had attended. He went again to Cana in Galilee, where he had changed the water into wine. Now there was a court official there whose son was ill at Capernaum, and, hearing that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went and asked him to come and cure his son, as he was at the point of death. Jesus said, "So you will not believe unless you see signs and portents." "Sir," answered the official, "come down before my child dies." "Go home," said Jesus, "your son will live." The man believed what Jesus had said and started on his way. And while he was still on the journey back, his servants met him with the news that his boy was alive. He asked them when exactly the boy had begun to recover. "The fever left him yesterday," they said, "at the seventh hour." The father realized that this was exactly the time when Jesus had said, "Your son will live," and he and all his household believed. This was the second sign given by Jesus on his return from Judea to Galilee. So we always want to start by asking ourselves, what's the context of this passage? And in context, Jesus has just encountered the woman at the well in Samaria, which is Gentile territory, and he stays in Samaria for 2 days. Now in verse 43, he leaves Samaria for Galilee. So he's returning from a foreign territory into his own area. And it says, he himself had declared that there is no respect for a prophet in his own country. So this is a quote that Jesus says in the Synoptic Gospels as an explanation of why his hometown of Nazareth rejects him as the Messiah. He says, a prophet is not accepted in his own country. And the fact that John mentions this suggests, as some scholars have thought, that John is actually writing to supplement the other Gospels. John assumes that his readers have read the other three, or at least one of the other three Gospels. And that would make sense, because here he's calling back to something which Jesus has not said in John, but Jesus has said it in the other Gospels. But it's an interesting placement for this phrase. Why does John talk about Jesus declaring there is no respect for a prophet in his own country, but then straight away when he gets back to his own country, he is well received? I think it probably represents the fact that when he gets into his hometown here, or his home area, he's going to be met with a superficial kind of faith, not a true, genuine faith. So it says, on his arrival, the Galileans received him well. Now, probably not necessarily Nazareth, because we know that Jesus was not well received in Nazareth, and he didn't really go back there after he was rejected there. But it appears in the general Galilee area, at this point in his ministry, they do accept him. But they only appear to welcome him because of the miraculous signs they've seen him do. As we're about to read, they have just seen him do some miraculous signs in Jerusalem. So they're really excited to have him come back home to their area. And they are accepting him because of his miracles. Now, John has a really interesting focus on miracles. The Gospel of John is always talking about a right way of interpreting the miracles and a wrong way of interpreting the miracles. And John calls a lot of the miracles signs. So whenever Jesus does a miracle, It's supposed to be a sign of the kingdom of God and of Jesus' true identity. It's never supposed to be just an amazing show of Jesus' power, but it appears that that's what the people of Galilee were excited about, that Jesus could do these amazing shows of power. So it's kind of a superficial faith that they're demonstrating. It says, having seen all that he had done at Jerusalem during the festival, which they too had attended. So all the Galileans, as well as Jesus, had gone up to Jerusalem for Passover. And that's recounted earlier in John chapter 2, verse 23. And it says that while they're there for Passover, Jesus does some interesting signs in Jerusalem. The Galileans see him do that while he's in Jerusalem, because they're all there together. And now they're all back home and they're really excited to see him. Verse 46, he came again to Cana, where he had changed water into wine. So Cana is part of the Galilee area, and it's quite close to Nazareth. So that's where he is for this particular scene. There was a court official there. So what's a court official? We're not entirely sure, because it could be a few different things. But most scholars would say this is probably someone who works for Herod Antipas, which is kind of like the puppet king in this part of Israel, the client king of Galilee. Apparently, this guy, this servant, the court official, is quite rich because he has his own servants, as we'll soon discover. And he says that he has a son. So the court official is in Cana, but he has a son who is ill at Capernaum. Capernaum is about a day's journey away from Cana. Verse 47, hearing that Jesus had arrived in Galilee, so this official knows about Jesus and his miracles, so he comes to find Jesus, and he went and asked him, and a more literal translation there is begged, so he went and begged Jesus to come and cure his son as he was at the point of death. So his son is really close to dying, the man is desperate, he falls on his knees, it appears, and he's desperate, he wants Jesus to heal his son, and he believes that Jesus can do it. Verse 48, Jesus says something pretty stark here. He says, so you will not believe unless you see signs and portents. As in, so that the man has just come to and has asked Jesus for a miracle, and Jesus is basically saying, so you're saying you're not going to believe unless I do miracles. Now, probably Jesus is addressing the entire people of this region, and he's criticizing their general superficial attitude. They have this view that Jesus is a miracle worker, and that's why they like him. And so he's probably addressing this constant need for the people to see miracles. But that includes this man, because this man is part of that region as well. But also when Jesus says these comments, similar to the comments he makes to the Syrophoenician woman, it's usually some sort of challenge to elicit a faith, some kind of faith response from the person. And that's what happens here, because the official then says, sir, and the Greek there is kyrios. That's the same word that the Samaritan woman has used for Jesus earlier in the chapter. And it's a sign of deep respect. He says, sir, come down before my child dies. So the man clearly does believe that Jesus can heal him. Why does he say, come down before my child dies? Well, he knows that if Jesus is going to heal the boy, he's going to have to do it quickly because it's a day's journey to get to the boy. Verse 50, Jesus obviously perceives there's something admirable in the man's request. He detects that there's true faith in there. So he agrees to do a healing at a distance, and he says, go home, your son will live. So it's a healing at a distance. The fact that he's doing this kind of healing suggests that the official might be a Gentile. The only other time Jesus does these sort of healings at a distance where he says, go home, the healing is done, it's pretty much always for other Gentiles. So in the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus does it for the centurion's boy and also the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. Those are two occasions when he heals at a distance, and they're both Gentiles. So that probably suggests there's something about Jesus choosing to heal Gentiles in this long distance kind of way. Perhaps it represents that these people are not directly close to God, and so Jesus mimics that in the way that he heals them. He grants their request, but he does it in a distant kind of way. Whereas with the Jews, he does these very close one-on-one contact kind of healings. The man believed what Jesus had said, and this is probably the key thing which brought about the healing. It's the man's faith. So he heads off. Verse 51, while he was still on the journey back, His servants met him with the news that his boy was alive, which is incredibly joyful news. Verse 52, the official asked them when the boy had begun to recover. So the official wants to know and wants to confirm if Jesus' word was the cause of the healing. That's what he's wondering. And his servants reply, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. And that turns out to be exactly the time when Jesus had said, your son will live. That tells us the healing of the boy was instantaneous as soon as Jesus spoke the word. Now, that's pretty incredible. Jesus is quite a few miles away, but as soon as he speaks the word, it's done. The healing is done. He doesn't even have to meet this young boy. That should give us a lot of confidence as Christians as well, that Jesus can heal from a distance. And he can see what's going on from a distance as well. When the official hears this, all his household believed. So the official tells his whole family what's happened. And of course, the whole family knows this boy. And so they believe, wow, he has been healed by this Jesus. And so they realize that Jesus is in fact a miracle worker. And what does it mean to say that they believed? It's not entirely clear, but in context, it probably means his family believes that he's sent by God. So that's a fantastic development in itself. There's this family of probably Gentiles that come to faith in God because of this miracle. Verse 54, now we encounter the word sign. We need to say something a bit about the word sign. If you've studied the Gospel of John, you'll know that that John uses the word sign to refer to miracles in a particular way. So the miracles are signs, according to John, of Jesus' identity. And in John's Gospel, there are seven miracles that John explicitly identifies as signs that teach us spiritual truths about Jesus. So here, verse 54 of chapter 4 says, this was the second sign given by Jesus. So the first sign in the Gospel of John is the wedding at Cana in John chapter 2. Now this is the second sign, healing the official's boy at a distance. So this second sign, what's it all about? It reveals that faith in Jesus must rise above just being superficially impressed with his miracles. That's not true faith. This sign, probably according to John, is trying to teach people that true faith has to rise to the level of a mature, genuine personal faith in him. That's why John includes this story for his gospel readers. So that's the end of the passage. And turns out there's no catechism references to this particular passage in John chapter 4. So we'll finish our podcast here again today. If you've enjoyed it, please share this with others. We'll see you again tomorrow.